Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. I'm very excited today to have a new guest on, my friend Leo, a fellow writer and my editor over at the Hollywood Handle, on the show today to talk about DC news, you know, all the stuff going on over there. We review Prey, which I liked having the expertise of someone who has actually seen The Predator, which I have not. Then we also talked about D23, you know, what's coming up there, some of the Marvel announcements that might be made there. And before we get into the episode, speaking of Marvel, my She-Hulk review should be up by the time this is posted, so I will link that below if you're interested in seeing my review. I was fortunate enough to see the first four episodes, and all I'll say is that it's another promising start, but will I actually finish this one? I hope so. You know, Tim Roth is in it, so, you know, I'm buckled in for that reason, but I think there's five episodes left. We'll see if I actually end up finishing it or not. WandaVision, to this day, is the only one I have actually finished, and I feel bad. I thought Miss Marvel was going to be the one, but, you know, yeah, they need to step it up a little bit. So, with all that said, I will let Leo and I take it away. All right, well, welcome, Leo, to the show. I'm very excited to have you on. Do you want to give a little bit of a background? Because I know you from the Hollywood Handle, but give me a little bit of background.
Yes, absolutely. So, hi, guys, I'm Leo. I'm working at the Hollywood Handle with Andrew. I'm a contributing writer right now. I'm also editing quite a few of the articles. And yeah, I'm excited to be a part of the Hollywood Handle. Great to finally meet you kind of in person, Andrew.
Yes.
And yeah, I'm excited because I'm going to TIFF next month, so you'll hear a lot from me at the Hollywood Handle about various movies at TIFF, and yeah, I've been really enjoying my talking to you at the Hollywood Handle and also working at the Hollywood Handle with all the amazing people there. So yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, actually, let me ask you, how did you get started with the Hollywood Handle? Because I just happened to see a tweet, I think from Richard, it just somehow popped up in my feed. I don't remember if you were already there before I had joined. How was that?
I think I was the same thing. I think I saw a tweet from Richard and was like, hey, this seems fun. And I had never really written reviews before. I had sort of dabbled in writing. I am definitely more of a writing person, but I'd never really written reviews before. But I'd always been very much associated with the industry growing up in Los Angeles. Right. So I had always found it fascinating, the ins and outs of the industry. And so I figured, hey, might as well try this. And here we are.
Yeah. Well, you do a lot of great editing for the sites. Definitely much appreciated from me.
Thank you.
Is this the first time you're meeting somebody from the site? Like,
absolutely.
In any fashion? Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, Leo's a great guy. You know, you're a great guy and I love reading your stuff. And
thank you.
It's fun to actually talk to somebody from the, from the website.
Yeah, it's interesting.
So let's, you know, something else that's interesting is DC's current state, right? And
yes.
You know, I'm actually wearing, for the sake of this, I'm wearing my shirt that has the Batman logo. You can't really see it in the camera. But yeah, so it's been some, you know, troubling news, I guess. You know, first we'll start with the Batgirl, the cancellation. It's fully canceled, right? I think this is when
it's fully canceled. They can't release it at any capacity for profit. That's the way the tax write-off works, is they can't, once they've written it off, they can't make any money off of it. So they could theoretically release it for free, but they can't make any money off of it. So I don't see it seeing the light of day anytime in the near future.
So yeah, I think Variety confirmed this. I don't know who originally reported it, I just know they confirmed it. And it is kind of interesting because this is a $90 million movie, was it?
Yeah.
And didn't it have Michael Keaton in it? Like, it had, like,
yes.
I don't really understand how you can scrap this. Was it because of test audiences? Do you remember?
There's a couple of reasons. Well, one of the reports was test audiences, but I believe it was Hollywood Reporter that came out and said it was actually the early test of it was actually testing the same as Black Adam, which they then went in and fixed up and made it a better movie, which I believe it was a score in the 60s, which is on par with like movies like It, which went on and made millions of dollars, Black Adam, obviously. So it certainly wasn't a bad movie. I don't think that was really one of the reasons they canceled it. I think there's a couple of reasons you can point to. Well, one is the new head of DC Discovery, David Zaslav, coming in and saying, we need to focus less on making movies for streaming and more focus on making those big tentpole movies for the theaters. You know, those hundreds of millions of dollars of movies. And his whole mindset is you either make those really small movies for streaming or you make those really big movies for theaters. Mm. And Batgirl is kind of in between because it's a $90 million movie. It's not a small budget movie. You've got lots of huge actors in there, high budget. There's lots of special effects in it. So his concept was, we can't really release this movie on HBO Max because it doesn't fit our new style of smaller budget HBO Max originals. So that's one of the reasons. I also think one of the reasons was, one of the reasons it wasn't testing as high in test screenings is because people were really confused about Michael Keaton. And people were really confused about Michael Keaton because this movie is supposed to come out after The Flash. And The Flash keeps getting delayed, and no one knows what's happening with The Flash. So I think the problems with The Flash kind of spilled into this movie because you can't have this movie come out before The Flash. And obviously, The Flash is having problems with its star, Ezra Miller. So, you'd have to keep this movie in the back burner for quite a bit until The Flash comes out. So I think there's kind of a combination of reasons why this got canceled. I think it's a shame because, from what I heard, it was a fun movie. I know someone who was at one of the test screenings and said it was really enjoyable. So, yeah, it's a shame. All the people that worked on this movie, they make their money, but they want to see their work on the big screen, or at least on the small screen, and it's never going to happen.
Yeah, we'll talk about The Flash in a second, but it is the first thing you pointed to there about, the new head of Warner Brothers Discovery and stuff, making films for the biggest screen. I definitely understand that. And it made me think about during the pandemic, when they had all those movies that either went straight to HBO Max or kind of were in theaters and on stream, like I think Godzilla vs. Kong or
Yeah, I mean that was unprecedented if you think about it. That's hundreds of millions of dollars, and it's going straight to HBO Max and in the theaters at the same time. And that's the exact opposite of what the new head of Warner Brothers is doing. I mean, the exact opposite.
So, and I know that now they're trying to, it sounded like they were trying to repair the relationship with the lead actress from Batgirl. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know if I was her, if I would necessarily think I'm going to go back to them after they did this. But and the directors were the pair that did Miss Marvel, right? Or they did.
Yes.
So
They did a
that's
few
really
episodes of
interesting.
that. I think the way Warner Brothers went about this was really terrible because I don't know if you know this, but the cast and crew, I think this was reported on, that the cast and crew only found out this was canceled through the reveal of online. Like there was no, they didn't get notified. The guys who directed Batgirl found out at one of their weddings. Like you can't, like they just, that day's ruined for them now. If you're going to go about this, go about notify them at least a bit advance. You can't have all of the cast and crew find out their movie's never going to come out at the same time as the fans. That's not a way to do it. And it's really a shame that it happened like that.
Yeah, well, hopefully Marvel takes those directors back and it does more with them because I
Yeah, I
honestly
mean,
of the
I love their work in Ms. Marvel. They did great in Ms. Marvel.
I think they did at least I know they did the first episode and that was by far my favorite of the three I've seen
They did a
or
few.
two
They
and
did a
two.
few of them. Yeah, I think they did two or three. Yeah,
Okay, well they had
for
such a
Ms. Marvel.
unique kind of way of directing a Marvel project that I really appreciated that. But not we're not getting to Marvel yet. We'll just shift over to the Flash. Is it Flashpoint? I'm always confused by this. I
Just
don't.
the Flash. It's just the Flash. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's not what but I know that they're now, it came out that there's, I think the Hollywood Reporter reported that there's three different options now they could take with this film after its constant, after the delays with the star, Ezra Miller, who goes by they, them pronouns. But yeah, I don't know if any of these three options are very appealing. I think, do you know, have you heard about these, the three that they have?
I think so. I know a couple of them are. One of them is just straight up scrap the movie, which there's no way they're going to do. That's like the last resort they could possibly do because the fact that they scrapped Batgirl is unprecedented. The fact that they'd scrap this, I think it's like a $300 million movie. There's no way. So then the other option obviously is release it but without putting Ezra Miller's name in front of it, which I honestly think is the option they're going to go with. Because you can very much appeal to an audience by saying, Michael Keaton's back, Michael Keaton's back, and then advertise off that. But at the same time, it's hard because you have your star and you can't advertise with your star. Like, that's kind of ridiculous.
Does that so if they did that, just say hypothetically, if they go that route of not really showing Ezra Miller in the trailers and whatnot, but they show Batman and whatever other characters, does that mean that they even to you, would they show like the Flash running around in the trailer and just not Ezra Miller's face and putting the name in?
That's such a difficult decision to make. I mean, imagine being put in that situation where you have to advertise a movie without showing the face of the star at all. Like that's kind of ridiculous. I mean, I know for a fact that one of the closing movie at TIFF in September is a Salvador Dali movie, and Ezra Miller's in it. and there's zero advertising on the website, any press releases that mention their name. So I think that's really telling that if that strategy works and people go enjoy that movie without thinking about it, I think you might see that happen. I'm really not, it's a difficult decision to make. It's an expensive movie. There's huge actors in it. So difficult choice to make, yeah.
And there's no way that you can just edit them out of the film completely, right? You'd either have to recast, which at this point is way too far gone. I don't know if that's even an, I don't think that's really an option because, like you said, it's a $300 million movie. You're
They
already
just
taking
did
a loss for
reshoots.
this.
They just did reshoots with them this summer. So there's
Oh, did
no
they
way they're,
really?
yes, in between all of this chaos, they did reshoots with them this summer. So there's no way they're recasting. The only possibility I could see is shooting a scene near the end with a new multiverse version of the Flash that replaces Ezra. That's what I could see happening. It makes sense in a multiverse movie like this. But again, that's it's a huge decision to make. And I don't pity them for having to make this decision.
Yeah, this is such a it's such an unprecedented thing. I don't think I've ever seen a movie this. I mean, you've always had movies with troubled productions, but this is on such a new level, especially given the fact that this is a blockbuster film. And this isn't
Yeah.
just, I'm not trying to degrade another character, but it's not like Blue Beetle, a character that,
Yeah.
this is the Flash with Batman in the movie, and it's supposed to be like your equivalent to, like I don't know actually what to, equate that to, but it is a big deal, right? That's like if Marvel's just like, oh, we're gonna, cancel Doctor Strange 3 or whatever. It's a
Yeah.
big character. It's kind of one of your staples, right? Because I don't remember much about Justice League or Zack Snyder's Justice League, but I know he was a big part in both of those.
Absolutely.
So are they, or, and I don't know exactly how you go forward with a character that's this, you're kind of having to rework an entire character that's a staple, not just the background character,
Absolutely. Well, speaking of Blue Beetle, that movie's not doing very well production-wise either. That, I don't know if you heard, there's a recent report that they were doing reshoots in Puerto Rico, in a dangerous part of Puerto Rico, and there was a gang shootout.
Oh.
Yeah, luckily everyone's okay, but I mean, that movie's apparently, they haven't even filmed 20 to 30% of that movie, and they're already in the reshoot phase. I think that movie's gonna get, I doubt it's gonna come out next year. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, this whole shakeup at DC is, I don't know if it's causing all these issues, but it's certainly contributing to a lot of these issues, the way that they're slowly shifting. I know that Walter Hamada, who's the head of DC, was really angry and was debating leaving after the Batgirl thing. Apparently he's now staying on past Black Adam. I don't know how long he's going to stay. So I think it's really, I think the next year or two is going to be really interesting to see the direction DC goes in and the way that new streaming service happens with Discovery. And I think it'll be probably the biggest story in entertainment the next couple of years.
And this is our, this is another headache. All of this is a headache on top of another headache, because before all this, this shows how fast our news cycle is. But I was already kind of confused with DC because you had the Snyderverse, which now, because of Zack Snyder's Justice League coming out, people are now clamoring, for that to return. Ben Affleck is returning in a project. There's always talk about Henry Cavill. And on top of that, you had the Batman come out this year, and Joker's a standalone thing. There's just all
Yeah.
this stuff. I'm just so overwhelmed by it. I think Marvel's overwhelming for other reasons. It's more so the quantity of projects. This is just so much different. I don't know what's connected and what's not. There's no through line. How do you
Yeah.
feel about all that? I just feel like this is too much.
See, I kind of applaud DC for kind of going in their own direction with individual films that aren't really connected. I think that's something that I wish we had more of in superhero film. I don't think you need a connected universe to be very successful. I think you can put out individual movies that are very different. The problem is, of course, that you have a past history of a connected universe, and then you have to consider that, oh, audiences might think this is part of Zack Snyder's universe, or maybe it's the new universe with James Gunn heading it, or it's Robert Pattinson, Matt Reeves universe, you know? So it's, I think it's, there should be some clarity. Hopefully in the future we get more of that clarity. I do think that what it sounds like from David Zaslav's investor meeting, that they're trying to push for more of a connected universe for a lot of Kevin Feige things, which is a shame because I really hope that they would continue with these more individual disconnected movies. But yeah, it is a mess if you can't tell what's part of what. And you go into a movie thinking that this character is going to show up, and then it's really you realize that you're sort of in the wrong film, that it's incredibly confusing for the viewers. And it's also incredibly confusing for the filmmakers too. Imagine, being told, the day of production that suddenly you have to connect it to this movie, or oh, this movie got canceled, so scratch that. That's what they're doing with Aquaman. The only reason Ben Affleck's coming back for Aquaman was because, again, the Flash is a mess, and they can't have Michael Keaton show up in a movie when he hasn't been, revealed yet, the Flash. So they're having to replace his scene with Ben Affleck.
Yeah, it's a lot. And I like you said, I mean, I do love the individual stories and even Birds of Prey, which is in the Zack Snyder's Justice League, or his universe, I think, because I imagine. Who knows? But I love that one, so please make a sequel to that. But point being, yeah, I mean, it is, I love, Joker and the Batman, all these things that are unique to their own. Marvel doesn't really do that. They don't stray away from their kind of formula, and I applaud, Warner Brothers for doing that. But now it is, maybe it's just too much all at once. There's a lot coming out, because then this fall we have, and winter we have, Black Adam and Shazam 2, which I think are both in the Snyderverse. I think I'm calling it that because I don't know if there's a proper name. The DCEU, is that, are they still going by that?
I think so. I mean, I've actually heard a couple of things about Shazam. I think it's setting up the new quote unquote DC universe. I've heard that there's some connections to James Gunn's properties.
Oh.
So I don't know if you saw the trailer for Shazam. There's that scene where he's talking to the pediatrician. He's doing this whole rant with the pediatrician, and it's, oh yeah, I'm a pediatrician. And it cuts to, like, his office. There's a little Starro logo in
Oh.
the background, because it's like the alphabet, A B C D E F G, and it's like all the individual things. And I think Starro is for S. So I think they're sort of pushing in, instead of Zack Snyder direction, it's more James Gunn direction with Suicide Squad and Peacemaker and all that. I mean, you had the Justice League show up in Peacemaker, kind of a big deal. So I think they're gonna stick with James Gunn in the meantime. I think he has a lot of projects in the works. I heard something about there might be a Bloodsport thing with Idris Elba. We'll see. Harley Quinn movie, who knows? I think they're James Gunn is the new Zack Snyder, I think, in the DC universe. We'll see what happens, but that's my prediction.
Well, now you just added another ripple into all this. I forgot about, I mean, I love James Gunn's work that he's done for, the DC projects, but I completely forgot about that. And that also was what confused me, because Harley Quinn shows up in The Suicide Squad, right? And it's kind of a continuation of the first one, but not, but a reboot at the same time, right? It's it all this, you added a whole nother thing. Now my brain is spinning even more. But I mean, I'm excited for Shazam 2. I liked the first one. I don't care much for Black Adam. I'll still see it. I'm not, jumping out of my seat for it. But what about you? What are you most excited for in the near future for DC?
I don't know. I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised at Black Adam. I've heard good things about it. I think after those early test screenings, I think it really reshaped itself into something that I think a lot of people at the studio like. So I'm hoping that translates into people, viewers like it. I'm really excited for Shazam 2. I love the first one. The first one's really fun. I'm a little biased because I filmed in
Yeah.
Toronto, so I got to see a little bit of filming, which is cool. But I really enjoyed the first one. I'm hopeful for DC. I've heard Flash is good. We'll see what happens, if that even comes out in the next couple of years. Aquaman 2 is happening. It's supposed to be funnier than the first one. We'll see if that translates. There's stuff in the works with James Gunn, Peacemaker season 2. We'll see. Blue Beetle, if that ever gets finished, could be fun. It's a lot. It's a lot happening. They're reshaping what's going to happen for the future of DC, and we'll really see what happens. Again, the next couple of years are going to be huge in deciding how the universe goes and the direction it's going in.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear that Warner Brothers is trying to shape themselves kind of towards what Disney's done with the MCU. I know that they kind of did that in the early days of the Snyderverse and whatnot. Didn't work out too well, but hopefully they can take steps, because Disney, as much as I might not like all their projects, at least I give them credit for making as much as they do. But before we get to Marvel, I'll stray over to Prey, which came out on Hulu, which is a Disney property now. I'll preface it with this. I'm a newbie to the Predator franchise. Of course, I know I've heard the quotes, right? And I've seen some of the scenes from the original film. But are you a Predator fan?
I wouldn't say I'm a Predator fan. My first experience with Predator was actually really fun. I went up to a friend's house in Northern Ontario, which is where Toronto's in, and they have a little farm up there. And we watched Predator and Aliens back to back in a barn in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the night. It was an amazing experience. Just because those two movies are, I wouldn't say they're this similar, but they're in the same vein, the whole sci-fi action movie, and they were both really fun. And but the original Predator is just incredibly cheesy. I mean, there's that the classic scene with the two with Arnold and Carl Weathers doing the whole fist together and their muscles bulging. It's just a campy, fun ride. I think some of the action in it is quite, I think it holds up quite well. And I think there's some, it's a fun movie. And I think this movie, Prey, really kind of recaptured that vibe, but in I think in a less campy way, which I kind of appreciated, because the violence felt a lot more visceral. Whereas in the first one, it's very, there's very much a lot of violence, but it's almost like, oh, it's just campy, fun, ridiculous violence. Whereas this one was very much like, oh, you kind of, I wouldn't say you care more about the characters, but there's certainly more of a fear of the predator in this new one.
Well, and there's more of a folk. I mean, I can't speak to the original, but I imagine Prey felt a lot more like a character study. It does focus on what is the main character's name? And I know it's Amber Mid-Thunder is the actress. Do you remember
Naru,
the?
I think.
Okay, yeah. If
Yeah.
wait, I'm sorry. Could you repeat
I think
that?
it's, I believe it's Naru.
Not okay. Well, it
Yeah.
focuses on her, for I would say the whole movie. I don't really
Yeah.
think many scenes don't feed, not feature her. Yeah, but it felt like I think if you're like me and you haven't seen any of the movies, this definitely changed my perception of what it like. Yeah, it definitely was different than what I imagined because I know like what you're saying, the Predator movie, the first one. I imagine that 80s kind of cheese. I think that's why my blind spot in movies is the 80s action genre. I've seen Terminator, if that's 80s, I can't remember. I've seen
Was.
some, but I'm not. My dad was never a big Arnold Schwarzenegger fan or even Stallone, so I really missed a lot of those kind of things. So I've never had interest myself, but Prey was definitely more of a quiet film. I didn't expect that. Focus more. It felt like a movie, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Not like this campy thing. It just felt like a movie. And if a predator didn't show up, or if that's what they're called, I would not know that this was a predator movie. Does that make sense? I don't know.
That absolutely makes sense, especially with the opening. I mean,
Yes.
the opening is very much just her. I mean, that's a, it's a brilliant opening to me because there's no word said pretty much the entire opening, and yet you know exactly what the situation is before the predator even shows up. It's, oh, she's the woman around her are going off and farming and finding crops, and she wants to go be the hunter, and you know that the first 5 minutes of the movie with zero dialogue. For the opening line from her at the beginning, which doesn't really do much for her character. And it's just a, it's a brilliant, this movie's a brilliant lesson in show not tell. I think the original plan for this movie was to release it in Comanche, not in English, in Comanche. And then the studio, I think, said, no, we need to have English, which I think is a shame because there's actually not that much dialogue in this movie. I think you could have easily released this movie in Comanche and had it still be a huge success. And I think they should, and I'm glad they did the dub. But the dub isn't that great, and I wish they had originally done it in Comanche. I think that would have been really fun.
Well, and let me ask you, what did you think? Because everybody knows what the Predator looks like, the
Yeah.
iconic look. What did you think of this design here?
I love this design. I thought it was it felt almost like a Neanderthal prehistoric vibe, which I really enjoyed. And I liked the fact that the weaponry kind of mimicked the weaponry in that quote unquote modern time of Native American 1700s Great Plains kind of vibe, and I really enjoyed that because if you know the Predator as a character, the character is he just wants to hunt and he wants the hunt to be as exhilarating as possible and as even as possible. He doesn't want to have a huge advantage. So the fact that he kind of dumbed down his weaponry for the situation he was in, I think, serves the story incredibly well, and it also makes the fight more even at the end, right? He's but at the same time, you know that the character of Naru is incredibly gifted, and she knows what she's doing, and she's smart. And I think that's one thing that sets aside. Well, I would say actually the original Predator is kind of similar, because you'd think that with characters, a character like Arnold, it's very much about masculinity and muscle and all that. But he's kind of in the same vein as Naru, which he doesn't defeat the predator by like straight up like beating it up. He, you know, sets a lot of traps and does various things to kind of suss the predator out and then take care of it. So I think it's again, it's almost a it's a very similar story to the first Predator. I think if you really stripped away all the elements that make this movie unique, I think you'd find that the movies are incredibly similar. But it's that those added elements that make this movie incredibly interesting. I mean, the setting is great, the direction and cinematography are beautiful. I think the lack of dialogue and the show not tell vibe of this movie really adds to it. So yeah, I mean, I enjoyed the design of the Predator very much. And I hope that in the future they make more of these movies where it's kind of a one-off in an era in the past, and then you have someone from that era take on the Predator. I think that'd be a really fun kind of anthology series to do.
And one important thing is, I mean, this really strays away from the original, is that, I mean, I can just imagine, because that is filled with men. This kind of, because it focuses on a woman, there is that sexism, right? And I think you kind of talked about it there, where she's a better hunter than her brother and all the rest of her tribe, you know, pretty much, right? Or not maybe, but
By the end,
she's
maybe. By
at
the end,
the
maybe.
end, by the end, okay. But, you know, even still, it reminded me, I was just watching, did you ever see the Studio Ghibli film? I hope I'm pronouncing it right, Porco Rosso?
I've not, no. I should check this
Okay.
out.
Well, that kind of has the same thing where it, I mean, that does focus on a pig who's a man, but he keeps telling this young engineer, she's a 17-year-old girl. She's like, oh, I want to work on your plane. And she ends up being this brilliant engineer, but the whole time he's like, no, you're just a girl. Everybody's saying, oh, you're just a girl. How could you be an engineer? You know, all this stuff. And they kind of hammered home a little. It's much more on the nose than this. Of course, the audiences are a little different. This is being Porco Rosso being for a younger one. But I did find it interesting that Prey kind of did tackle that, you know, to some degree, where she's being pushed down a lot by her brother and the tribe. But by the end, she's the one that ultimately defeats the predator. But I will ask you this because you would know better than I. You know, the design is slightly different than the original. This one kind of looks like it reminded me of like the mushrooms you'd see in like a garden. But is that part of it? Like, are they supposed to be different in each movie? Because I always thought of the original as just that's the iconic look. So I was a little confused, I will admit, that when this one showed up.
I don't know too much about the Predator universe. I know that from what I've read from people that know a lot about it and people and friends that I know that really enjoy that universe, they told me that they really enjoy this because that's kind of the Predator isn't supposed to be like just a killing machine. I mean, you saw this in the movie. He kind of avoids smaller prey or goes for the he's there to hunt down the biggest predator on the planet that ever he goes to, right? So he goes there to just find the biggest predator, and the biggest predator obviously is humans. So I think I really enjoyed this design just because of it matches the time period, and I think that's something that's very on brand to the predator. The predator doesn't want to go to a planet and where it's Native American weaponry and then have guns that destroy someone like that immediately, right? You want it to be a fair fight, and that's the whole point of the Predator is he wants to go, it's sport, right? You don't want to, play soccer against a bunch of 5-year-olds. It's not fair. It's not fun for you. It's just, it would be a massacre, right? So it's very much in universe for him to want to have the same technology as the people he's fighting. It makes it more fun. So I think I really like that aspect of it.
So if, you know, in your opinion, you reviewed this one for the Hollywood Handle, right?
I did not
Oh,
know.
you
I think
didn't.
someone else did know, but I did really enjoy the film. I would have happily reviewed it if I had the
So,
opportunity.
okay, well, since you didn't get to review it, then what would you score this? You can score it however you want. If you want to do out of 10, out of 5, 4, or a grade, whatever. You know, I know everybody has a preference. Do you want to do that?
Sure. I would give this movie, I'd say probably an 8. It's certainly not a perfect movie. The story's really simple. But I really enjoyed it. I think Dan Trachtenberg, the director, should go on and do bigger things. I hope he does. I hope Marvel poaches him. That'd be really fun. Because he did King Cloverfield Lane a few years back, which I
Yes.
really enjoyed. And he also did a Portal short, I want to say 10 years back. That was quite incredible on YouTube. You can check it out. I hope this gets him bigger projects because he hasn't missed yet, and I hope he doesn't miss in the near future. Yeah.
Well, and
And
just for
I
compare
really
oh.
enjoyed Edna Midthunder too. I think she's brilliant.
Yeah. Well, and just for comparison's sake, what would you give the, I mean, it might have been a few years, but just roughly, what would you have given the Predator, you know, out of 10?
The original one, I'd say probably an 8.2.
Okay.
It very much, as you said, matches that vibe of 80s ridiculous action movie, but it knows it. It doesn't take itself too seriously. It's a fun ride. It's campy, it's ridiculous. The action's over the top. Arnold is hilarious. I mean, there's so many iconic lines in that movie that even if you haven't seen the movie and you know some of the iconic lines. So it's like, yeah, it's just a fun ride. I recommend checking it out.
All right, well, maybe I know it's on Hulu, so I might have to go do that after we
Oh, it
finish.
is? Really?
I
Oh, okay. I
believe
didn't know
so.
that.
I mean, it was on one of the streaming services. I hope I'm credited.
Yeah,
I might just be
smart.
associating it, but because of Prey. But yeah, let's shift over to another, Disney thing, which is the D23 panel, which is
Yes.
that early September or is it
Yes, I
mid-September?
believe it's the same weekend as TIFF. I could be
Oh,
wrong.
they're trying to steal headlines. Okay.
Everything is happening on TIFF. Everything's happening that weekend. Like, there's something else happening in Toronto I want to go to. It's like, no, I can't.
Everybody's trying
So,
to
yeah.
steal the spotlight, but
Absolutely.
in my last episode, my friends and I talked a little bit about D23, but we mostly talked about Comic-Con, which had announcements galore. There was so much stuff, and
Yes.
there was like 20 things. I had no idea what it was. But yet there's still 8 slots open, I believe, in the Marvel
Yep.
slate for the next 3 or 4 years, whatever.
Yep.
So there's 8. I came up with a list of 5 that I can
Okay.
think of. How many do you have a I probably should have told you to bring a list, or do you want to just spitball?
I have a my friend and I are obsessed with Marvel, and we go so far as we find untitled LLCs that Disney has registered, and we try to guess what productions are going to be those LLCs. So I have a list of things, but I want to hear your list first. I'm curious.
Okay. All right. Well then, okay. That puts a lot more pressure on me.
The
Well, okay,
pressure.
these are in no order, 'cause I mean, I didn't look at the dates and try to think, "Oh, this would be, I can't do that. I'm not that smart." So the first one is, I'm shocked this wasn't announced already, but Shang-Chi 2. I don't know how that wasn't. It's not perfect, the third act really blows it for me, but I loved everything else and it was such a unique Marvel movie. It blew my mind when it wasn't announced, but then I realized, "Oh, there's 8 more slots. It has to be in there." I would be very disappointed if they didn't make that. The Young Avengers, I think, has to be inevitable. I just know because they're introducing. I saw a picture of the Young Avengers, and it like had a picture of, I think, Billy, one of Wanda's kids. Is that is
Yeah.
he an event? Is he a Young Avenger?
He is the Young Avenger, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was
Yeah,
just a
absolutely.
mistake. I didn't realize.
We'll see if they bring those kids back, because those kids obviously are long gone, as evidenced in, but again, multiverse, anything could happen, right?
Yes, and their song will never be forgotten. Deadpool 3, I think has to be
Oh yeah.
right. I mean, that feels,
Absolutely.
and well, this is coming out past. I'll schedule this for Monday or Tuesday so I could say this. All I'll say about She-Hulk is that it kind of is preparing you for Deadpool. I'm not sure how many people knew that. I didn't know anything about She-Hulk besides Tim Roth was in it. What was it? Oh, something with the mutants, I think has to be, maybe it's later. I know that they're kind of, I know if, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Ms. Marvel, I haven't seen the finale. I just know she's a mutant.
Watch
I
the
think,
finale, it's fun.
yeah,
I
well, I
recommend
mean,
it.
I know, I will. I mean, I got lost in, was it episode, it might be halfway through episode 3 or 4, one of the two. It might be 4. But yeah, eventually I will finish that one.
Last episode's fun. It's very much like a Home Alone kind of vibe.
People are saying it's really good and they actually stuck the landing, so I do have to
Oh,
check it
absolutely. Yeah.
out. So yeah, I think something with the mutants, I mean, I'm gonna be honest, I did not hate New Mutants. I know it became a meme because of
I
how many
didn't
times.
either. I
Okay,
liked
I'm
it. It
glad
was
to.
fun.
I thought it was fun. The cast was really fun. I actually enjoyed
Yeah.
the vibe, the kind of Breakfast Club, but
Horror,
not. Yeah,
yeah.
horror. I mean, if they had gone with the R rating for that, I think it would have even benefited it even further. But I remember watching it thinking, oh, this is going to be awful, and then realizing this isn't the worst thing I've ever seen.
Oh,
And I
definitely
actually
not.
had fun. It was a fun matinee screening.
Would I watch it again? No, but I liked it.
Yeah, right. I'm not rushing out to buy the Blu-ray per se,
No, exactly.
but yeah, it's one of those, like, if it's on Black Friday, I don't know, and if it's like a $5 deal,
Yeah,
I'd get
yeah, yep.
it. I'm not gonna spend more than that. And then my last one is, I think Spider-Man 4 has to be in the cards. I know there's not an official deal with Tom Holland to return, but they're gonna bring him back. There's no way you lose your biggest money maker right now.
Yeah.
So I mean, that feels inevitable, and but the reality is, he is getting older, and I know they're going to go into the college. Well, I don't know this, but I assume you're going to go to college years now. So, I mean, what is he, 25, 26? You have to kind of start kicking the wheels in this eventually because, yes, Tom Holland does look like he's 18, but he is eventually going to age out of that as he takes, especially now he's taking more mature roles, and he does look a little older than I remember. So, I feel like that has to be in the cards eventually. And if you're going to do a new trilogy, especially, you can't wait too long, maybe another couple of years, but eventually I feel like this has to come out. So those are my five. You're probably going to name some that's like, oh, that makes sense. But what did you think of those? Am I right or am I wrong?
I like to, I think all of those have a chance of happening.
Okay.
I think you is way further down the line than a lot of people think. I think
Really?
don't expect it for like another 3 years minimum. I
Oh
think it's
no.
way further down the line. I think probably wait until honestly after those next two Avengers movies. I think that's what they're doing. But yeah, I mean, all those are going to happen. Justin Daniel Cretton's doing Shang-Chi 2. He
Oh,
also
okay.
has a I think there's another Shang-Chi series in development for Disney Plus. There's also a
Right.
Wonder Man series that he's developing for Disney Plus. He's also directing the next Avengers movie. He
Right.
just signed like a huge deal with Marvel. His name is going to be plastered everywhere. So I'm not sure what the schedule is going to be like on Shang-Chi 2. I don't know if he's doing that next. I don't know if he's doing Wonder Man next. I don't know if he's doing the Shang-Chi series. I know he's only like exec producing, I think, Wonder Man. So it's possible that he doesn't do much with that, but
Yeah.
he's definitely very much involved in all these little aspects of Marvel. So it'll be interesting to see what he puts out next. Young Avengers, I don't know if they'll make a Young Avengers movie. I'd
Oh,
love to see it.
okay.
I don't know if they're going to do a Young Avengers TV show or just straight up add them to the Avengers roster, which I think would also work. We'll see. I don't actually know. That's my prediction. I don't know if I mean you've obviously got the stars there to make a movie out of it. With you got Hailee Steinfeld, Catherine Newton, and you've got a couple other people that they haven't introduced yet that I think will be part of the Young Avengers in the near future. We'll see.
Amon Fellani too, right? Of
Amon Valani.
this one,
Well, I don't know if she'd be
right?
part of. I guess you could add her as Young Avengers. Yeah. Okay, I can see that. Yeah. I don't know. I'm thinking about the Marvels and her alongside
Oh,
Brie Larson and all that. So
right.
I'm thinking she's kind of graduated the Avengers
I
already.
forgot
I don't
about
know.
that,
Yeah.
yeah.
So it's kind of that's going to be a big deal. I'm excited for that. But yeah, I think all the things you named are pretty spot on. I mean, there's a few things that haven't been confirmed yet that I think you're going to hear about.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a Marvel Halloween special coming out this year. It
Forgot
hasn't
about
even
that.
been announced yet. Like, that's kind of insane. It's already August and it's coming out in October. Like, and it hasn't even been announced yet. I mean, Avengers 1 and Avengers, 5 and 6 have been announced, and those come out for the next 3 years. But there's something coming out in 2 months that hasn't even been officially confirmed yet. Like, that's kind of insane. I don't know if they're going to like surprise release it. I don't know if they're going to announce it at D23. I have no clue.
Yeah.
But I've heard really interesting things about the direction they're going in with that Halloween special, and I'm excited.
And I mean, one that I forgot to, probably my brain just doing me a favor, but Eternals 2 slash the
Yes.
Harry Styles. I don't really. What is Harry Styles' character? Is his name Pip or is that
No,
Patton
that's a
Oswalt?
troll. That's a troll.
So
Yes.
then what
He's
is.
Heros. He's the brother of Thanos.
Okay, so I imagine you're gonna do either. I hope. I pray to God that there is just one of these. I hope it's either Eternals 2 with Harry Styles more prominently, or just a Harry Styles movie and not Eternals 2.
I
This
think they're
is
going to do a Harry Styles series, is my guess. They're probably going to do
damn
like
it.
a him and Patton Oswalt exploring the universe Disney Plus series. That's my guess. I don't know.
Dang it. Well, look, I don't Eternals 2 will be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. But yeah, so what do you have for your eight? I hope you don't name Eternals 2, but you probably will.
I don't really have an eight. I have a
Okay.
few things I think are going to happen.
Okay.
Well, F4 already got confirmed. I think there's going to be a Ghost Rider or something in development right now, whether that's a series or a movie. I'm guessing a series. I could be wrong. I'm guessing there's, I don't know if you remember in, I don't know if you saw Falcon and Winter Soldier, but there's a whole thing. It's been a while.
I watched 15 minutes, paused it, and was like, I'll get back to this. Never
And then never
did.
got back to it.
Yeah, never did.
Okay. Well, spoiler alert, he Falcon becomes Captain America.
Right.
And there's a character in the movie who is brand new, and I forget his character the character's name, but he's kind of like the military aide to Sam Wilson. He's kind of like the hey, we have intel that there's stuff in this area, you should go do it. Hey, I'm part of the military, I'm helping you out, kind of thing. In the comics, he ends up becoming Falcon again. That character becomes Falcon. He's basically hands the wings off to Falcon. That character, he becomes Falcon. In the show, he kind of does that. And my prediction is that you're going to get another Falcon series with that new actor as the lead actor, and then whatever happens, that series happens. But that's my prediction. That actor has also been in. He was just in the recent Top Gun, so he's kind of his career's on the up
Oh,
and up.
yeah.
So I'm guessing they'll do something with him. That'd be cool. I think he's an upcoming actor, and I think it's cool that Marvel's kind of identifying these upcoming actors and sort of creating their careers for them, which is really cool. I mean, Amon Vellani, she was in nothing before Ms. Marvel, and now she's a huge star. So yeah, good for her. And I hope Marvel keeps doing that, where they find these newer actors and giving them these big projects and watching them succeed.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, I mean, Daredevil's happening. I'm so excited about Daredevil. Oh my God. Nova is a character that I can see them making a movie out of. Secret Warriors is another option. I think they might be pushing for that after Secret Invasion. We'll see. It could be an Illuminati series they go with. That could be interesting. But there's also a World War Hulk option. There was recently a theory that, because I don't know if you know this, but Universal has had the distributing rights for Hulk for years, and that's why there
Yes.
hasn't been a Hulk movie, because they'd have to work with Universal, and then Universal would have to distribute it and make all their money. And Marvel's like, yeah, we don't want to do that. The based on previous distribution deals of other studios, the rumor is that that deal will run out in March or May of next year, something like that. And that's when Marvel can officially get started on a new Hulk movie. And the prediction for that, based on what is possibly going to happen in She-Hulk, is that there will be a World War Hulk movie, which is the world. And what happens in World War Hulk is one of the Hulk's blood gets out and is spread, and suddenly tons of people start becoming the Hulk. And it's a whole battle of like all these Hulks versus Hulks. And Bruce Banner trying to fix it, basically. That's what I think is going to happen in the near future. I think that's what they're going for the next Hulk movie. If what happens in She-Hulk is pushing in that direction, is my guess, but we'll see.
Well, and I want to ask you this because this is something coming from a, kind of, I mean, look, I grew up loving the MCU. Now I've become kind of, you see so much stuff when you do this for your job that, it kind of gets lower on your priority list. But something that kind of bothers me about Marvel is that the aesthetic to me, I loved it as a kid, right? It's very, but what you're talking about right there, the Hulk, World War Hulk, it sounds pretty grim, right? If I can say that. And I want more Marvel projects to be kind of grim and not this like, I don't want to call every Marvel project happy because they're not, but like, you know what I mean? There's like this like vibrancy to MCU projects, if that makes sense. That I'm not saying you can't do it. It works for a lot of your movies, but I kind of want to see more gritty, stories, if that makes sense. Do you think that's a possibility with any of these that you're naming? Because even Daredevil, I know there's the fear that they're gonna Disneyfy it or whatever. I don't know how you feel about that, what you think about that.
Sure, I think Marvel is absolutely pushing in a direction that's more gritty. I mean, they just announced that their Marvel Zombie series is going to be TVMA, which is a huge deal. That's like the first Marvel produced property that's going to be mature. And then obviously you've got Deadpool 3 happening. And I think they're sort of pushing the envelope on mature superhero content now, because they've wanted to establish their just Disney Plus as their, premier place to watch the stuff. And it was originally for kids, and now that Star is happening in different countries, and I eventually predict that Hulu will be consolidated into Disney Plus, is my guess. We'll see, because now that Disney has a controlling stake in Hulu, it would make sense for them to consolidate it. And that obviously has a lot of mature content on it. So I think Marvel is, as you've seen the last few years, Marvel is sort of experimenting with new stuff. I mean, Eternals was very much not a cookie cutter
Yeah,
Marvel
that's
movie.
fair. Yeah.
Ms. Marvel is kind of a weird vibe. Moon Knight's very different. She-Hulk's very different. They're kind of testing the waters. They're seeing what audiences really like and what audiences really want. They're kind of introducing this more quote unquote experimental stuff and seeing what hits, what misses, and then going into those directions and trying out new things. I think you're going to see that this year with the Halloween special is very much very, very different from anything Marvel's done. And I think they're pushing that in the future. I mean, there's going to be the Guardians Holiday Special, which I think is going to be really interesting. There's things coming out like Wonder Man will be interesting if they end up making a series out of that. If you don't know, Wonder Man's whole concept is that he's like a failed Hollywood actor. So he's like struggling in the industry. So I think that could be a really fun series to play off of and have like a fun act, like a really chiseled fun actor come in and do like a Channing Tatum kind of type and have him be like a failed actor in the industry. I think that'd be fun. I think you have your established Marvel characters that have been incredibly successful. And now they're pushing out these weird characters that not many people know about, right? I mean, She-Hulk's big, but she's not huge. Like, 10 years ago, I don't think anyone knew who She-Hulk was. Now she has her own series.
Right.
Like, Ms. Marvel, Moon Knight, Swamp Thing, like weird characters that, 10, 15 years ago, no one would know who they are. Now people are suddenly obsessed with them because they're Marvel, I think that's something that eventually might happen with DC. I mean, once you establish those established characters, then you can push off into the weird, crazy sides of the universe you haven't gotten to. And I hope DC gets to that point because there's a lot of interesting DC characters that are bizarre and weird, just like what I would love to see on the big or small screen. So I'm hoping that DC can kind of replicate what Marvel has done, where they establish those characters, get incredibly huge, and then branch off into the weird, more experimental stuff that Marvel's now pushing for.
Yeah. Well, and before I want to shift over to TIFF a little briefly, but do you have
Yeah.
any other Marvel things that you sense are coming? Because you seem to have a pretty good handle on this.
I don't know. I'm really excited for She-Hulk. I've heard good things about the way that wraps up. So I'm excited for that. And yeah, I'm very excited to see what people's responses are to the Halloween special. I think it'll be a little polarizing, based on what I've heard. But I think it'll be entertaining regardless. So yeah, I'm very excited. I'm very excited to see where Marvel goes forward and responses people have to certain projects.
Well, I'm excited to see your stuff from TIFF. I'm also very jealous. There's obviously a lot of stuff coming there. Could you name a few things that you're excited to see there? Is Blonde playing there? I know it's at Venice. Is it also playing at
Blonde
TIFF?
is not playing at TIFF,
Okay,
last
all
I've
right, so I'm
seen.
a little less jealous then.
I think, yeah, Venice and TIFF are kind of competing, so they're trying to like snatch up the big movies before the other
Okay.
festival can. I know there's a couple that are premiering at Venice and then coming to TIFF.
Okay.
Like, I think there's a couple movies. There's the new Martin McDonagh movie with what's his name? Colin Farrell and
Oh.
Brendan Gleeson. I think that's premiering at Venice and then coming over to Toronto. I think it's like the North America premiere. I'm excited for that. I'm a huge Martin McDonagh fan. I love In Bruges is one of my favorite movies of all time. So I'm very excited to see what this movie is, and I love that he's reuniting those two actors. I mean, obviously the big one's the Knives Out sequel. That's going to be huge.
Yes.
That's probably going to be the one I'm going to try to get into the hardest. We'll see if I can actually get in. Steven Spielberg has a movie premiering there, which is kind of huge. His new kind of autobiographical film, semi-autobiographical film with, I think it's Seth Rogen. That's going to be huge. Florence Pugh has a new movie there that's going to be on Netflix later that I'm actually really interested in, called The Wonder. That sounds like a really fascinating story, and I'm excited to see what she does with it. Harry Styles has a new movie coming out there. We'll see if that does well.
That's My Policeman, right? I keep
I
getting emails
believe
about
so,
that.
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and then obviously there, Florence Pugh and Harry Styles movie is premiering at Venice. That'll be interesting to see what the response to that is. But yeah, there's so much happening at TIFF. It's overwhelming. There's no way I'm going to be able to review everything there. There's just so, and then I'm sure there are going to be things where it's like, oh, multiple movies happening at the same time. I can only choose one. I'm glad it's spread out over a week and not a weekend. But yeah, I think I'll be very busy early
Yeah.
September.
Well, someday, hopefully, the Hollywood hands will be big enough that we can send multiple writers there, because that's kind of how you have
Yeah.
three or four people covering stuff, so then you can get everything. But yeah, you'll have your hands full with the
Yeah.
slate, but hopefully
Plus
you can get the big
D23, I'll
ones.
probably cover that too. Yeah, so there's a lot.
And D23, is that where does that happen? Is that virtual? I can't remember
That's
how that one
in,
works.
I believe it's in Anaheim, because that's where Disneyland is.
And then
And the
they
Anaheim Convention
broadcast it?
Center. I don't know what they'll broadcast. I think a lot of it will be closed doors. Kind of like Comic-Con, where you only hear about it. I mean, I'm sure a couple things will be broadcast, but I think the big panels you'll only hear about from people. And unless they release something online, I don't think you're going to see any footage.
Well, we still have a few weeks before TIFF. So, would you mind kind of telling me some of the things you have coming up? Do you know what your some of the things you're covering for the Hollywood Handle before TIFF?
I don't think anything before TIFF. I know I'll be covering a few of the episodes of She-Hulk when those get released, the later ones, because I know you're covering the first four. And that'll be exciting. I'm excited to see what you think of that. And then I'm hoping to get Andor, maybe cover Andor when that comes out. But until TIFF is really the thing that jumpstarts everything, and then beyond TIFF, there's going to be a lot of stuff to cover, lots of movies and TV shows. And but yeah, TIFF is going to be very exciting.
Well, I'm very glad that you're taking the burden off of me for She-Hulk in the later episodes, because I know some people stay up, you might not do this, but some people stay up till 3 a.m. to wait for them to premiere or to get
See,
the screeners.
I do that when I'm in Los Angeles, because it's very reasonable. It's midnight. But yeah, I'm not going to stay up till 3 a.m.
Okay, good, because
I'm not that crazy.
that's where I fell off. I think even I remember I covered Peacemaker, and I think they sent the first, I don't remember how many episodes there were. I think it was 9 or 10 or maybe 8. However many there were, they sent all but the last one. And then I didn't know they were even sending the last one until 3 a.m. the day before or the night, whatever day it was. And I was like, I'm not waking. I'm not going to stay up till 3 a.m., unfortunately, for John Cena. But yeah, so
Why
I'm
not? I
very
love
excited.
John Cena. I love John Cena. He's the
I love
best.
John Cena, but he is
Not
great.
worth staying up to 3 a.m. for.
No, not many people are. I
No.
don't know who would be worth staying up. Maybe Al Pacino. If you sent me his next movie at 3 a.m., I would watch it. Or if you told me to interview him at 3 a.m., if he was in Greece or something, where it'd be a time difference.
10 years, 10 years from now, there's going to be a day when you wake up at 3 a.m. and I'm going to be on a Zoom call with Al Pacino, and I'm going to invite you. And then that's going to happen.
Well, then I will keep an
You heard
eye
it
out
here
for that.
first. You heard it here first.
Look, I'm very excited for that. I'm very excited for the future of the Hollywood Handle, for things you're covering in the future. Do you want to tell everyone where they can find you if you want to do that?
Sure. I'm on Twitter. My handle is bizarre. It is at the Scott Eyebrow 1D. And then obviously you can find my work at the HollywoodHandle.co. If that's where you find Andrew's work too, he's gonna be publishing his She-Hulk review soon-ish, I believe, or at least their first reactions are going to be out Monday. And I'm very excited to see what else you cover. I don't know if you're going to be at any festivals coming up, if you have any plans, but I'm excited to see what you cover.
Well, thank you very much. I didn't you didn't have to put it back on me. I appreciate that though, Leo. I mean I'm hoping to get into we're waiting to hear back for the New York Film Festival, not for the Hollywood Handle, but just in general. We usually that's like the leftovers of TIFF and Venice. That's usually
Oh,
like
really? I didn't know that. Okay.
it's still fun. It's more convenient for me just to be able to go around the
Oh,
city.
absolutely.
But yeah, hopeful for Sundance in January. But yeah, many things cooking up in the future. Some things I'll talk to you about off camera. But yeah, very exciting times, Leo. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. And you want to say goodbye to the viewers?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I had a really good time, and hope everyone has an amazing rest of the summer, everyone.
Thank you. Well, we'll catch you next time.